Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Let's go! Let's go! Come on!
It's a great day to have a great day. All right, let's pull them together now. Let's go. Start fast.
Play action, Wentz, deep drop, fires downfield, Mo Alley-Cox over the shoulder, catch, and did he get in?
Let's go! Let's go!
Touchdown, Mo Alley-Cox with a score!
They can't play with us! They can't play with us!
Play action, Wentz has all day to throw, going to heave it way down the near sideline, and that is a catch for Paris Campbell!
Okay, another day, another team gets a new quarterback. The QB carousel keeps swinging and moving and landing on your favorite squads just days before free agency frenzy even begins. Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. New faces in lots of places, including this breakfast table. My name is Kay Adams at Le Fung Le Trois.
This
is my least favorite spot you sit in, Sean O'Hara. I'm just going to tell you.
Okay, agreed.
I don't know what it is.
It's weird. I feel like I'm playing musical chairs. Am I Carson Wentz right now?
It's because I think you've spent the most time in this seat, so whenever you take a different seat, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You're here. Happy to have you here. Mike Garofolo is here as well. And two-time Super Bowl champion, LeSean McCoy, here.
She makes me feel so good when I come on the show, you know?
Yeah. Are you having fun this week?
Yeah, I'm having fun. I love it.
How's your week in New York?
It's been great.
Yeah?
Nice dinners, nice food, nice people, a lot of traffic, but I'm used to it.
You look as sweet. You're not wearing Eagle swag when you go out to dinner around here, are you?
No.
Okay, all right.
Do you get love
for your own protection?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Yep.
We're doing a segment with you called Catching Shade. Is that true? A little bit later, and we have a Shady versus Sean trivia fiasco I'm excited about, but there's huge news to get
that
to.
Sounds more like cut on a dime.
Now, I won last yesterday's
right trivias. Now, yes. So everyone's clear. Okay. I'll introduce you as our trivia winner from yesterday as the show goes on. It's time for Lee Block. Got to get you. We had massive news in the NFL yesterday. Ian Rappaport dropped the news that the Colts agreed to trade Carson Wentz back to the NFC East. This time he'll be in Washington with the Commanders. Garofolo, how'd it go down?
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, Carson Wentz was throwing to his Indianapolis Colts wide receivers and posting it on Instagram saying another day at the office. Well, now he's going to be in a new office back in the NFC East as part of this trade. I am frankly shocked that the Colts got as much as they did. Not because I don't believe in Carson Wentz or think he should be starting in this league or anything like that, but because they had already pretty much indicated that they were moving on from Carson Wentz. So for them to get a couple of mid-round picks and then also a swap of second-round picks this year, they moved up five spots. There you see the whole shoot and match right there. It's a pretty good haul for the Colts. Now, that being said, I don't know how much Chris Ballard, the general manager, really wanted to do this. I think he kind of wanted to stick by Carson Wentz. And my understanding is Jim Irsay, we know that Jim Irsay was not happy. The owner of the Colts, really the one that was pushing for some change here with the Colts. So, it wound up with them now really having to figure out what's their plan at the quarterback position, which we will get into. But Wentz now headed back to the NFC East, going to face the Eagles twice next year, going to face the Colts. It's the possible Carson Wentz revenge tour.
That's very
with the
interesting.
Commanders.
I mean, the numbers on the field were great. They were good last year. Maybe that's not it. So it's understandable that Ballard would want him around. And there's a perception timing thing to this as well. You know, you have an Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson mega blockbuster day. And then the day after that, Washington lands their quarterback. So I am seeing a lot of fans be like, really? Question marks, huh? What do you guys think of the Commanders trading for Carson Wentz? O'Hara, go.
Yeah, I was a little surprised as well. I thought Carson Wentz did a good job last year in Indy, and it's just the way the season ended was just horrific. And clearly, this is the collateral damage that comes from it. I think if you're a Washington Commanders fan right now, and if you're in that team right now, you're excited. I think Carson Wentz, look, I, as much as Taylor Heineke won some games for him and looked good in spurts, I think Carson Wentz is an absolute upgrade. And I think Terry McLaurin right now is ecstatic. I'm happy for Ron Rivera. I had a chance to talk to him Super Bowl week, and he was like, man, we are evaluating everybody. They were on a mission to get a quarterback,
they
somebody
were.
That can win them some games, take care of the football. Look, the NFC East is wide open, so this is a great move for them. I think this absolutely elevates them. Obviously, defensively, we talked so much about how good they were defensively all last year. I think this now gets the offense going a little bit, and they didn't have to give up a whole lot. Look, you mentioned that Chris Ballard, what he got for this draft. I think the one thing that Washington and Ron Rivera, they were not going to do was they were not going to let Carson Wentz go somewhere else, Jimmy G go somewhere else, Jameis Winston go somewhere else, and now they have nothing. Like, when the music stopped, they couldn't have a seat to sit in. So I think it's a pretty darn good seat. And for Carson, he gets to follow in Donovan McNabb's footsteps, who got traded on Easter Sunday. You probably remember that. Within the division. So here we go. Another Eagles quarterback coming to Washington. It didn't fare so well for Donovan, who went 5-8 in 13 starts. They went 6-10 after he went there. But I think Carson may fare a little bit better. But in the words of Donovan, everybody loves five.
You're very optimistic about Carson.
Very.
A little bit.
Am I tripping here? Am I lost? I don't know. Did we not watch the game against the Jaguars? The worst team in the league?
Ursay did.
Wait, time out. They had the number one pick last year too, right? And this year, Jaguars? Am I lost? I don't know.
Bad vision.
Colts defense also has something to say about losing.
The Colts defense, they play solid, but Carson Wentz,
They were terrible.
They put up 11 points in the last game. All you had to do is win one game to get to the playoffs, right? I look at their offensive line, one of the best offensive lines in football. Probably the best running back in football with JT.
Mm-hmm.
One game to win and you can't do that? So I'm not sure what the Commanders thought about trading for Carson Wentz, even trading so much. I mean, it's like, who are you bidding against? Why are you trading so much to get him? Like, who you think is after Carson Wentz? I'm not sure a whole bunch of teams were beating down the door with the Colts, calling, can we get Carson Wentz? Is he available? I don't think they did that. So just watching this, the trade and the reaction, I'm sure people in Washington are not, like, super happy. You know, Taylor didn't do that bad. Heineke didn't do that bad at all. I thought he was solid. Now, he is a replacement. I think he's a guy that he's temporary, right, until you get your franchise quarterback. But
how much of an upgrade is Wentz over Heineke to you?
I mean, it's like C plus, C minus. It's like so close. I don't think you trade
he's
anything.
He's not that much of an upgrade.
I mean, it's like the same. They're the same guy, right? I think they both take chances. They both throw picks. Carson does more turnovers, I think. He throws picks and he fumbles.
Not last year, but yeah.
I'm going to get the last game. Mm-hmm. One game to win. And in the last, what, 2-3 years, we haven't been, like, great on Carson Wentz. So I don't see nobody banging on the door to go get Carson Wentz.
Sounds like the owner agrees with LeSean.
Yeah. Well, the offensive coordinator in Washington, Scott Turner, I remember him last year talking about Taylor Heineke, because he was asked about him. Like, how does this guy slip through the cracks? And he said, well, he's not that big guy. He came from a smaller school. And so he is you talked about him as a bridge guy or a backup guy or something like that. And it's clear that Washington said this guy is not a starting quarterback for a team that could potentially compete for a Super Bowl. And that's why they were adamant about getting a quarterback. So they get the prototypical guy. They get the 6'5 guy. They get the guy that can take the shot down the field. And he did that with the Colts this past season. So this is really the first time that this coaching staff here in Washington is going to have this kind of a guy. 6'5, big body. And if we got a guy beating a guy down the field, he can make that throw. That's really not Heineke's skill set. The skill set for Wentz is completely different. So, you know, there's a higher upside here. And I get what you're saying, and somebody at home is watching and saying, well, he was with Frank Reich last year. He was supposed to be the most comfortable he's ever been.
Yep.
And Reich was supposed to tap into it and make sure that he didn't make it. I get all that.
Right.
And Washington at some point, going back to Sean's point, had to get a quarterback at some point before this thing stopped spinning. So they landed on Carson Wentz, and they're going to try their best to make the best out of it.
See, I think he was good last year. That game was terrible. Colts defense also terrible in that game and coughed it up week 18. That game. In a silo, I'm totally with you, but he did take care of the ball last year. He had 7 interceptions all season last year. So I take it off the field. You're talking about teams that go through quarterbacks. There has to be a reason that the Colts decide to deal him, especially when Frank Reich, who said he put his neck out for the kid, is also on board with this. There's a reason that the Colts are going to move to quarterback number 5 in 5 years. Really let that sink in and think about that. I don't know Carson Wentz. He's always been lovely to me. We can go by what we read, what we hear, what we don't hear other players saying. There is that article that's out there from The Athletic, quote, concerns about leadership, resistance to hard coaching, and a reckless style of play. That's in The Athletic. Those are those words. Those are terms that are floating around there right now. when I hear it's, you know, on if on the field it looked okay and it looked great, and then it is an upgrade on Heinicke there. That other stuff seems fixable. What an opportunity for Carson Wentz here. Usually when you have two teams that you didn't mesh in the locker room with, you aren't handed the keys to your third locker room to do that. You bring up Taylor Heinicke. I don't know him either. He's fine on the field. What I do know is that Chase Young is like, this is my boy. He is a leader. I can tell that with just nonverbals on the field. So he doesn't, you know, he's. I'm saying he's handed the keys, but there's somebody in back of him that team rallies around and really likes than Taylor Heinicke, but what an opportunity for Carson Wentz. I would love in his intro presser, say something about that. Say something about wanting to be a leader, wanting to improve upon things, whatever those things might be. I would like to hear them. I don't know if we will, but it seems like a really nice chance for him to realize that and take advantage of it.
And I look also, like, earlier in the year, it was all Carson Wentz. Let's not forget that, right? I think people would look at how he finished, like, oh, he did a great job, but in the beginning of the year, they wanted to throw it. So, okay, hold up, slow down. He's not completing balls. He's having 150 yards. He looked bad. Then they went to the young running back, if you remember, and they started giving him the ball. Let's go. Let's put the offense in his hands. Then that's when the game started changing. Run it, play action, throw deep. That was the end and how he started looking better. Let's not forget now. He didn't play great the whole year. Mm-hmm. Towards the middle to the end, they start going to the young running back, JT, and then they started playing football. Run the ball, play action.
Well, to your point, LeSean, I think when you look at the setup that Carson had in Indy, it doesn't get much better than that. That offensive line.
Come on.
With JT, and you're playing in Lucas Oil Stadium, where we were for the combine. I mean, the conditions are optimal for a quarterback.
And division.
It's funny because everybody, you know, look, we pontificate and we talk about players that just got traded, and guess what? There's sometimes players get traded and they're not happy.
Right.
But you can't say that. So to your point about Carson, his press conference absolutely is going to be.
What do you make of these things that have been out there through the teams that he's been on, you guys? Right. Like, you're the two players. Let's just keep it real.
We don't
know exactly what it is. We're not in the locker room. But when you're hearing that, can he win over a third locker room? What does he have to do when he gets in there?
Yeah, I think he can. And I think that there were reports about that down in Philly. And I talked to some of the offensive linemen down there, and they didn't believe it. They didn't.
Okay.
Well, because it depends on who you talk to.
That's true, too. Now, hold on.
Which is fine. Because guess what?
And that's not enough.
You're not going to be friends with all 53.
Sorry, say it again, Kay.
What's he on the hook for in that locker room? Like, when he goes in, like, how does he win them over? Can he? How does he? Say something?
If I'm him, I probably take a different approach, right? I probably don't go in there as, like, I'm here.
Yeah, right. It's me.
I probably go in there and say, okay, look, this is my third stop. I know what you've heard. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm not going to do a lot of talking. Quiet to myself, go about my... That's the way that I would do it. And not that he's this big, bold, loud presence, but that's just the way that I would... That's the way you're going to win him over.
I'll just say this. I don't think I've ever been on a team where a player got traded or signed and he came in the team meeting room or locker room and addressed us. Like, as a quarterback, you don't go in there and say anything, hey, guys, here's what's going to happen. No, you just go do it. You just go to work.
Right.
Hey, let's go. I got to earn it because I got to earn my spot on this
exactly.
team. And I got to earn your respect and your trust as well. And you can't do it by... You know, getting in front of people and giving a speech.
You're right.
This is not Varsity Blues.
Isn't it, though? At GMFB Sunday, free agency frenzy begins. NFL Network has you covered.
Maybe a
team of insiders bring you live breaking news and every blockbuster deal for all 32 teams. Free agency frenzy next Sunday at 1 Eastern on NFL Network. And there's a whole Ron Rivera layer of that, too, and how that works out with Carson Wentz as far as leadership. All right, which free agents are flying under the radar? Mike Dree, what do you got?
Oh, I got five of them, and we're going to run them down, Pelissero. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy. Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Friendly
minutes.
Friendly fire.
Uh-oh.
Or not so friendly.
For the rest of our lives.
We are less than a week away from the start of free agency, while guys like J.C. Jackson, Tyrann Mathieu, Von Miller set to be free agents. They asked me here at Good Morning Football, they said, let's go a little bit under the radar for guys that could have an impact on a team's 2022 season and secure themselves a bag. That's what they say, LeSean.
Ching,
that's
ching.
What I hear. Ching,
what
ching.
Kind of bag?
So I'm going to give you five guys that I'm considering under the radar, and I define under the radar as guys that are going to get paid more money than you're expecting, or maybe guys that the casual fan has never even heard of.
Woo!
All right, so let's start with our first under the radar free agent. Now, this is the least under the radar from a name standpoint, okay? But I do believe that no one is considering how much money he is going to make. Not even Tom Pelissero, who, by the way, stole my answers here, wrote a story, and told the folks at NFL.com, make sure you post this before Good Morning Football. Because Mike's going to do it, and I want to do it first. That's a team player right there.
Yeah,
Christian
we know.
Kirk is on Tom's list. He's also on my list as well. And you look at what happened at the wide receiver market with some of these guys getting tagged and Mike Williams getting his extension, Chris Godwin off, Devontae Adams off the list. So Christian Kirk now got himself a chance to make some serious money here. 2,900 receiving yards and 17 receiving touchdowns over his career. I expect those numbers to go up with a new team that he's going to wind up with. He expects them to go up. I think the team that winds up paying this guy is going to expect them to go up. I got him well over $10 million per year on a deal. We could be talking
cash him out.
$15 million or so per year. That's where I got him. I think Tom's got him there too. Probably because stole my answers. Moving on.
Wow, the shade.
We talked about the new quarterback for the Commanders in Carson Wentz. Let's talk about a running back currently with the Commanders. That is J.D. McKissick.
Okay.
Though I'm not quite sure that he's going to stick in Washington because I gather there is a lot of interest in the league for this guy right here. He's got a great skill set. He can give you a little bit of that right there. He can also give you some work in space where he's catching the football. Boy, this B-roll is just perfectly with what I got. And he's really smart, and he's really clutch. He makes plays at the right time when Washington has needed it. People around the league have seen it. Now, look, the running back market, you're not going to make a ton of money unless your name is LeSean McCoy. So I probably put him, you know,
Ching, ching.
Look at what's on his wrist today, by the way. $5-6 million a year, but that is a really good deal for J.D. McKissick here.
Hey, the man.
Going to be significant interest in J.D. McKissick. All right, now we're moving on to a guy who I thought was under the radar last year because he's a former first-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals, who the Cardinals finally put in a position to succeed his last year in Arizona, and by that I mean the chance to rush the passer.
Okay.
And he went himself and had himself, what, 12 sacks, 12 and a half that year?
Yeah, seven of them were against the Giants.
That's okay. Sean O'Hara wasn't blocking, that's why. So Hassan Reddick last year had to take a one-year deal because we've seen this before. When pass rushers break out, even Shaq Barrett a couple of years ago with the Buccaneers, the Bucs said, all right, we're going to tag you, but we're not going to do a long-term deal. We want to see that you can do it again.
That's right.
Guess what Hassan Reddick did?
He did it again!
Let's take a look. We got a graphic that's going to come up here, and I'm going to show you a lot of sacks right here.
Look at that.
And a lot of money.
Wow.
From the top down, Hassan Reddick, I believe it is your time. Now, I spoke to Hassan yesterday. That's right. I did a little legwork for this.
This is confusing to me.
Did Pelissero do some legwork?
Not that I know
of. And talking to the players? Not that I know of.
Right.
So I talked to Hassan. He said, look, I feel like I'm just getting started. Yeah, I've been in the league for 5 years, but really only the last two being put in a position to rush off the edge. And he worked this past offseason with BT Jordan and Elijah Robinson. And Mike Robb, right now you're watching at home and you're saying Penn State for Elijah Robinson, who coached Hassan Reddick in college. So that allowed him to really work on his repertoire and prove, I can do it again. And yeah, he did it again. So Hassan Reddick, I got him well into the double digits per year.
Paid him in.
On a multi-year deal this time around for Hassan Reddick.
Temple tough.
All right, now we're getting into the names that the casual fan, if these guys are not playing on your team, you may not even know who they are.
We're heating up now.
Despite the fact that when you were watching NFL games this past year, you heard the name Foye Oluokun called plenty of times. You want to know why? Because he led the league in tackles. 192 combined, but it was for an Atlanta
team. He's a beast.
It was for an Atlanta team that really wasn't in contention. Now, look, tackles can be misleading, okay? But what you're seeing now is turnovers. This guy forced 10 turnovers combined in the past couple of years. His numbers compared with what Darius Leonard was doing from a turnover standpoint. So he's not just making tackles.
Okay.
He's making impact plays.
That's
so
right.
This is the guy that, again, the average fan, your casual fan, maybe hasn't heard of him, but you're going to hear him loud and clear, and you're going to hear him going to the bank to cash his first check with his new team. Again, a double digit per year. So I'm talking eight figures per year.
He's a baller.
For Foye. LeSean McCoy says he's a baller. So does most of the league.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
To get paid. You're going to need him. We got more here. We got one more. The guy who is the best at his position at stopping the run with the Jets as far as a analytic standpoint. Okay. PFF loves this guy.
Talk to me.
Foley Fatukasi, 318 pounds, space eater, taking on blockers, double team kind of guy. Now, look, you don't look at the stats because you're not going to see a whole lot of that stuff when you're talking about interior guy. You're going to see that right there.
That's right. That's impressive.
You're talking about Pro Bowl linemen that he's going past here in this highlight package. And it's a guy who is a leader. He is a spokesman a lot of time for the Jets. I got him in the double digits. He's another eight-figure guy for me. This is a really good player that the Jets are going to try to retain. He's a local guy, but I'm feeling he's going to probably wind up somewhere else. Here's your stats as best that we could do him for interior lineman. The guy right above him, he's pretty good. So are the other guys on that list. So there are my five under-the-radar free agents that are going to get paid a ton of money. We're kicking it to the table. Thoughts on any of those guys or somebody else maybe that you got?
I felt like you brought some heat. You brought some fire.
That's what we do.
My best one I got to say is Christian Kirk.
Yep.
A lot of times I've seen with the Cardinals, man, when Hopkins was hurt in and out the lineup, Christian was balling, going deep, always getting his name called and making plays and answering that call. So I love that pick, man. Pay that man. Ching, ching.
The Hassan Reddick thing is wild to me. Like, this is not a fluke, people. This is not a flash in the pan.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
The Cardinals changed his position back in 2020, right? They switched him from linebacker to edge rusher. Since then, he's fourth in the league in sacks. Wow. Sacks. Fourth in the league in sacks since they did that. I hope he gets broke up. I love that you put him on that list.
He talked to me about, you know, edge rusher, yes. But with my new team and whoever I'm with, move me around. I can rush. It doesn't have to be off the edge. I can rush inside. I can rush outside. Still wants to do a little bit of everything, but getting after the passer.
But that
is
move speaks for itself.
Yep.
Big fan of Reddick. He was a safety in college. Like, that's how far he's come. Jersey boy. But I tell you, this list, Mike, it looks a lot like your report card at high school. A lot of Fs.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Ds on there.
I don't believe that.
Give me Foye right there. 192 tackles.
Combined, yes.
That's a lot of tackles.
That's pretty impressive. I think, you know, for my first thought is obviously that means Atlanta couldn't get off the field on third down. That's why you had so many tackles. And that's why Chris Spielman was ahead of him, because I don't think Detroit was very good when Chris was there either. But when you look around the league right now, all right, that's absolutely the biggest part of this game right now is somebody that can tackle. It's blocking and it's tackling. So somebody's going to get a really good linebacker in free agency.
Yeah. Tackling is at a premium in the NFL. But again, sometimes you can be fooled by that stat. I've heard it plenty of times. Oh, guy's got a lot of tackles, but he's making them J-O-P. 5 to 10 yards. Right,
right. Jump on the pile.
Jump on the pile. J-O-P? Yeah. That's not a J-O-P. That is an F-O-Y-E. Foye. Remember the name.
Carson Wentz, as you said, and we've talked about all morning, he is heading back to the NFC East as the new quarterback of the Washington Commanders. They're now on a hunt, the Colts are, for their starting quarterback, their fifth in 5 years. Like I said, 2021 will mark the sixth. Unbelievable for Indy after the last six. So, wow is right. What do we make of this, and where do the Colts go here at the quarterback position? Sean.
Well, I think... Can we get Andrew Luck back or no?
He's going.
We did see him a bit ago.
He's very lean now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think now with the offensive line they have now, he would love it. And that's why I think Jimmy G should go there. It's just like it was in 49ers. Great offensive line, right? We're going to run the ball. Why not do it best with JT? Get him there with the coach, JT, the offensive line. Run the ball, then play action. That fits right in his game, playing how I used to play with the 49ers. It's a good move. He's a winner. He knows how to win. Plays with a solid defense. The same structure they had in 49ers would be the same with the Colts. Why not?
I like it. I do. I really do. I like that answer. I very strongly considered it. We talked about it. And I think that that's one route that they could go. But the other route is... You know, you look at that screen, you start to see it's like year after year. And even Darius Leonard with his tweet yesterday seems like he's getting like, here we go again. You know, at some point, you need the long-term solution. And I'm very sorry, Chris Ballard, that Andrew Luck walked out on you. Like, between that and the Josh McDaniels thing, the start of your general managership was very rough. But, like, at some point, to me, you need the long-term solution. So even if it's Jimmy... Is that your long-term solution? I mean, he's later into his career. You know, I think at some point there are quarterbacks to be had here. find the one that's going to work for you in this draft, because they'll be available for you later on. They already moved up five spots in the second round. Or maybe you just roll with Ellinger and then you figure out maybe next year's draft.
Well, then you're talking 7-7. What's the point of that?
Well, because at some point you got to sit there and say, if we're just continuing to plug the leaks in the ship here, let's figure out who the young, long-term guy is going to be. And if it takes a year for you to do that, then it takes a year for you to do that.
They don't have a first-round pick. They're going to find their long-term solution in the second round?
Possible, because those guys are going to drift into that. But again, if you sit there and say, okay, we'll just roll with what we've got here.
Right.
And next year, we'll make the push, because next year's quarterback crop should be stronger than this year.
Oh, but this team is so good right now!
Yeah, well, listen, absolutely. They're right now. They've got to maximize on it. You've got a great offensive line. You've got a great running back. The time now is to win. You can't worry about the five-year associate greenskeeper plan. You've got to win right now. So Jameis Winston, I think, represents the best opportunity.
Whoa!
Winston, okay.
Jameis Winston, look, 7 games with the Saints. 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So the one question was, can Jameis take care of the football? Can he fix all of that? So, look, I think the challenge with him is he's coming off the ACL injury. Apparently he's already running. But when you compare him to Jimmy G, while he's capable and he's won some big games, look, he's not going to be able to throw the football for another 4 months.
Oh, the shoulder.
4 months. That's so right, he's not going to be able to throw a football until July, after 4th of July. Like that's a long
that's
time.
Tough.
So to sign a quarterback and bring him in there, no mini camps, no OTAs, and we don't even get to see you throw until July or we come to training camp. Cam Newton did that, and it didn't work out so well for him.
You have to go for it. If I'm looking at the Colts.
Make a move.
He is the best option that you have. You bring him in, and you look at your cap space situation.
Right.
And it is great. You load this team up. LeSean McCoy, tell me this. Are the Colts making the playoffs last year if Jimmy Garoppolo is their quarterback? Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, LeSean
McCoy.
The
division is trash.
The roster is too good to throw a year. Well, I didn't say all that, but okay. The roster is too good to throw away. Look at this cap space. Listen, look at this. I'll pull that thing up again because this is what you could do. You can let him play out this year. You can extend him as far as Jimmy G is concerned. And look at with that roster space, come on, ton of money. You can sign a J.C. Jackson, a Teron Armstead, who'll be on our show today. Hassan Reddick, who Mike Garofalo brought up, Amari Cooper, multiple stars, and make this a success. I mean, health is an issue with Jimmy Garoppolo.
They got money.
He is your best option. Load up the roster and let's go, especially in what division? What kind of division?
That division's so trash. And y'all all know it.
Wow. No love for Derrick Henry. And
The Jaguars. Yeah. And then the Texans. Come on.
Healthy starter twice in his career. Took his team to a Super Bowl and is a Joukowsky
Hart
interception away from taking his team to a Super Bowl again. All I'm saying.
You love best leaders. He's a big leader for his team. They all talk
big
about
big leader.
So if we take a look, guys, at the NFC, as a landscape, an ecosystem, what have you, Russ is gone, Brady gone, well, at least for now, who knows. But should the Packers be the favorites in the NFC?
You would think so, right? You would think so, how all the big-time quarterbacks are going to NFC, and they get their band back somewhat in the Packers. But I got to go with the Rams, right?
Really?
Did Aaron Donald retire? Is he still playing? Okay. Is Jalen Ramsey, is he still there?
Still there.
Wait. Is Matthew Stafford still there? Hold on. Is Cooper Kupp still there? So knowing all these players that they do have, now they have that winning pedigree, that championship pedigree. Now they know how to win. When the games get tight, they come out on top. I love the Rams. I think they're a heck of a team. They're coached very, very well. They know how to win. They're hungry again. I just can't see nobody beating them in the NFC. They're my favorite.
I'm with you, my man. They're the defending Super Bowl champs.
Oh, yeah.
And so, look, we're not going to disrespect them. They're still having a parade right now in L.A.
That's right.
I think Aaron Donald's still running around downtown L.A. with his shirt off. Nobody in Green Bay is going shirtless right now. Temperatures.
Not right now.
Obviously a little bit chilly, but there they are right there. And listen, we're not just showing this just so that everybody at home can see Aaron Donald's body right now. We're showing this to prove that defense is still king right now. And if you have guys like that can get to the quarterback, you're the best team in the NFC. NFL, you might as well put that in there.
Wow.
So, look, Russell Wilson, now being out of the NFC, look, he wasn't the thorn in Aaron Rodgers' side in Green Bay. So I'm not going to put the Packers
ahead. He was in 2014.
The Rams or the Niners. The Niners have beaten Green Bay Packers 3 times in the playoffs since Aaron Rodgers there. So
that's right.
I think I would put the Niners over the Packers.
Interesting.
That keeps happening. Every time Aaron Rodgers has an unbelievable regular season, 13-3, they get into the postseason and
Trey, who we didn't see. You're saying this with Trey, who we haven't seen much of.
What's that?
You're saying, what are you saying about Trey
Lance?
Yeah.
Trey Lance. Well, we don't know.
Great question.
We don't know what we know about Trey Lance as far as Jimmy, compared to Jimmy G, but I think when you look at the 49ers defense, that's what I'm focusing
rookie
on.
Rookie quarterback Aaron Rodgers should be scared of a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying 49ers, I think, have Green Bay Packers number. They have Aaron Rodgers number. The Packers have not found a way to block the 49ers.
Yep, they get bullied. Yet. Yeah.
So I can't put the Packers ahead of even the 49ers, let alone the Rams, was my comment.
I'm just looking at the division, which is still set up very well for the Green Bay Packers to dominate some of their non-divisional games, especially with the way that the quarterback stuff has fallen so far, look pretty juicy to me. So I see a fat record, and I see the number one seed in front of them one more time.
Pick walk.
I understand, Sean, what's happened in the postseason, and that stuff can sort of manifest itself the more it continues to happen over and over again. So that's my only hesitancy right here. But I almost feel like Aaron Rodgers now, going through this past year, feeling better about the front office, feeling better about things, making the commitment to being in Green Bay for the upcoming season, if not well beyond that. We got to see the structure in this contract that he just agreed to. Maybe that can help reset things for him mentally and for them to understand, okay, he's still in it. He's still in it for the long haul. And maybe that leads to a little bit more confidence to not choke it away in the playoffs.
We have to bring up the Rams in this conversation, and I want your thoughts. So let's move it to that. And, you know, obviously the Packers have a lot to figure out. They've got to free up $40 million, I think, in cap space. They've got to get Devontae Adams in that situation done. But the Rams have questions to answer as well. So I'm curious if that's what makes you guys sort of steer away from them and you look at what they have to do. We think Donald's coming back. You're saying we haven't seen him, you know, not shirtless in a while. Mm-hmm. Is he coming back? That's a question. Do we know for sure? What is Whitworth doing? He was on our show. He said he wanted some time with his family. He's going to figure it out. If he retires, not even him, but his replacement, Notebook, also a question. They're Noteboom, sorry. Noteboom, he's a free agent.
Good movie, though.
Notebook, great. Yeah, great. Movie.
I knew you weren't going to
Nicholas Sparks, great movie. Adele, ACL injury. Von Miller's posting he wants to make his comeback to Denver and be a pass rusher there with his guy Russell Wilson. So Austin Corbett, starting quarter, Darius Williams. Right now they're sitting $20 million over the cap. No first-round pick, no second-round pick. Les Snead loves it, talking at the microphone about it. He doesn't want picks. He doesn't care. Use it in an expletive that your mom would not like.
Nope.
Yeah.
At that parade.
Take them.
About that. Five picks overall to try to restock their roster. Your thoughts on the Rams?
My thoughts are that last year the Tampa Bay Buccaneers free agent said, we're going to take a little off the top.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
They still got paid,
right,
but we're going to take a little bit off the top just to make it work for everybody. Von Miller is a free agent for the first time ever. My understanding, I mentioned the Super Bowl Sunday even before they won, was he was fully intending on exploring free agency for the first time ever and really digging in here. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't take maybe just a little bit off the top
right
to stay with the Rams because he likes L.A. He's liked the organization. I don't sense that that's going to work right now for a lot of these guys, and they want to get paid, and I don't know that it's going to work for the team. So, yeah, there may be one or two of those guys who are key performers. Bucks got everybody back.
Yeah.
Not to say that they won the Super Bowl, but the point is, if you want to keep all those guys, they got to work together to make it happen.
Why not the Rams?
Yeah, Brian Allen, big piece of that O-line puzzle. And to your point about Whitworth, that's huge because that whole offense is based off of the zone running offense, the zone play action. And that's where Stafford really excelled. But the other key to the Rams here is OBJ. Look, he's not under contract coming off ACL. Robert Woods also coming off of an ACL. So this offense could look a little bit different. But I still think that defensively, even without Von Miller, this is still one of the best defensive fronts.
No, you're right. But on offense, I feel like when you look at that offense, how they play, Sean McVay is really good at the way he designs his plays up, right? So you can kind of plug people in there, right? As long as you have your key players, like Cooper Kupp, who gets a lot of that attention. If you look at Odell Beckham, he had a lot of one-on-one opportunities.
Yeah.
And that only happens because Cooper Kupp is going for 100-plus yards every game. So now when you play this team, you don't have to have your very best wide receiver as your number two. You see what I'm saying? So you could kind of you could structure that differently how you want to as far as getting the players you want. You might have every superstar at every position. In good teams, you don't have every great player at every position. No, you have the superstar guys. You have the guys you could plug in there to do the dirty work and get some good plays off here and there.
You brought up the Niners with Trey Lance. Huge question mark. They lose Mike McDaniel. Is there a sneaky third team, LaShawn, that we're missing? None of us mentioned the Cowboys. We're talking about favorites. Who's going to run the NFC?
No.
Okay, well, then let me give you this hypothetical. Did a lot of combine leave the light on. Jason Light on the show saying, we'll open the door
leave
for Brady. Brady comes back. Where does Tampa fall in this mix?
They're number one.
Even though the team's not the same. Because, you know, like, I know it came and changed the culture and all that, but that team was stacked.
Yeah, but they're still good. The defense is all back for the most part, right? Shaq Barrett's still over there. They just paid him. The secondary is still there.
You put them over the Packers if Brady comes back.
Yes, for sure. Every time Aaron Rodgers plays Brady, you know what happens. So I just think that when you look at the Bucs, you put Brady there. He wins with anybody. We all know that. Brady's that guy, right? Then you have Chris Godwin coming back. They just franchise tagged him. Michael Evans, did he retire? He's still there. You know, they got Rojo, the running back. So Tampa is for sure will be number one.
How can this be true? Our next guest is entering his 10th season in the NFL. I can hardly believe that. I know what he's done in the league in that time, 9 of those years with the Saints. He's been in the Pro Bowl 3 times. He's one of the most dominant offensive linemen in the league today. We've been talking about you in every commercial break all show long leading up to this. Please put your hands together, guys, for Saints offensive tackle, actually free agent. He's hitting the market. Teron Armstead is here. Hey, Teron.
Mr. T.
Big T.
Hello. What's going on, guys?
It's weird. You know how I feel about your team. It's weird to say you're going to depart there. Such good times, such dominance in your career. You're always so wonderful on and off the field. 9 seasons there in New Orleans. And now for the first time in your entire NFL career, you are an unrestricted free agent. So what do you think about when you look back at all of that time and that city and what it meant to you?
It's been amazing. You know, it's been an amazing experience. The city, the organization, it's been special. It's been a blessing for sure. You know, I became a man in New Orleans and, you know, completely found my purpose, everything I wanted to accomplish in life. You know, it all began in New Orleans. So with free agency coming up, you know, I would love to continue that. You know, I understand the business aspect and how everything must work out. Everything must align in order for that to happen, but we'll see in a few days.
Big T, what's up? It's Shady, man. I'm a big fan, bro. I just always looked at like how you had them small ankles right in a big frame and could still block them guys, man.
He's been talking about your ankles all day.
Man, no, because I'm a fan of his. Running backs love their tackles.
Aerodynamic, man.
Right. Well, it's no surprise that on NFL.com, they have you listed as the number one free agent listed right now. But my question to you is, yourself and your agent, David Butts, what's your plan and your approach going to free agency?
Me personally, I'm just working on myself, man, getting completely healthy, getting my body right and ready to roll. So wherever I'm at, whether it's in New Orleans or any place else, you know, I'm just ready to go. Dave, I'm sure he'll be working the phones and, you know, working his lines of communication. But me, I'm just sitting back, man, enjoying the time with my family. You know, understand that this opportunity is a blessing to be here and still going and entering your team.
Shady loves himself some Dave Butts. He's been talking about him and your ankles.
Ching,
all
ching.
Long.
It's true.
Ching, ching.
And listen, bunch of people, wait till after the segment, then Google Teron Armstead. You'll see. He's right. He does have small ankles. He's got LeSean McCoy's ankles on his big body. It's amazing. All right, but Teron, you came into the league in 20... Yes, you came into the league in 2013, and you've only known one head coach, Sean Payton. He announced his retirement back in January. During his press conference, he had this to say about you.
Here are the players that have won a Pro Bowl or been selected All-Pro in these 16 years. Teron Armstead. I want you to know this about him. If there's one thing... He is a tremendous leader and a tremendous player.
There it is, man. Your reaction.
That's my guy, man. I love that man to death. You know, he took a chance on me. He gave me opportunity to come into this league. Small school guy. They didn't know much about me. He saw something. Scouting department saw something and brought me in. The relationship that me and Sean has formed over these last 9 years is, you know, nothing short of special. Definitely is deeper than a coach-player relationship. When my brother passed away a couple years ago, Sean, in the middle of the pandemic, he flew me up to the funeral. He came with me, you know, met my family, and it was just a very difficult time. And Sean just made sure that, you know, he showed and the organization showed that they were 100% in support and behind me. And look, that mean the world to me, and I'll never forget it.
Teron, so sorry to hear about your brother. Sympathies to you for that and that bond that you share with Sean P. And a coach. It's something that you'll cherish forever, no doubt. Those are great words that he says about you. Clearly a leader. You've got the C on your chest. You're also a leader in another category. Now, we are just coming off of the NFL Combine. And for anybody that watched our wall-to-wall coverage of it, they would have seen your name up there over and over and over again. Everybody's talking about your skinny ankles. No. Skinny ankles means speed. It means fast. Hold the record. Look at this 40 from back then. 9 years ago in the orange outfit right here. Look at you rocking it.
4.7.
4.7. Fastest time.
Sean needs to get them tackle passes.
That's big and fast right there. That's the fastest off by an offensive lineman since 2003. Here's a list right here, T, of players that you ran a faster 40 time than in the league right here. How about Zach Ertz down there?
Right? Zach Ertz.
Jarvis Landry. You ran a faster time than Juice?
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
You got two running backs on there, Shady. So tell us, Teron, about that day.
He's showing us
40,
up.
And clearly it's still living on to this day.
I definitely had goals to break the record. I think it was a 4.84 at the time. Definitely had goals to break the record. I wanted to go 4.6 flat, but the combine was a drag. Like from the meetings to the drug test to the workout. I think we were up at 6 a.m. when we started the workout. So by the time we ran, you know, we kind of was a little drained, but I just knew for sure that I had to break the record. Lane Johnson almost got me, but I needed that for my draft position.
Yeah, LaShawn saying that he's pretty fast.
Lane was a quarterback.
I want to take it back to Sean Payton, because your face when you brought up the Sean Payton retirement press conference just kind of took me one way. So I wanted to double back on that a little bit, because there's all this talk and all these articles being written about the possibility of him going into broadcasting this year. Mm-hmm. What would make him good on TV? How would he do on TV? Size him up from that perspective, someone who's known him for a decade.
I think he just sees the game like very few. It's natural to him. It's instinctive. The way he's able to diagnose and break down the small nuances and details of offense would be really cool and insightful for viewers. He's just a very intelligent, cerebral football mind. And that mind kept his assistant coaches up to 3-4 in the morning. Kind of every week game planning, because he was just so detailed. And I think it'd be nice for the viewers to get a chance to see the game from his perspective.
Yeah, Sean, he's like a mastermind. Look at guys like him and Andy Reid. They're so smart and so much more advanced. That's why they have like a quarterback gets hurt, you know, a guy like Drew Brees or Winston, they can have another quarterback that's managed the game well enough to win the game. But anyway, so we did our homework on you, right? And you're not only one of the best offensive linemen in the game right now, but you also rap. Is that right? And last year, some people tweeted that Sean Payton should do a versus with you on one of your songs. And this is what they tweeted about your coach.
Yeah, verse? More than a verse.
I'm sorry, that's what he tweeted. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sean's a real, real life hip-hop connoisseur. Yeah,
can he get a feature? Can he get a feature?
Can he get some bars?
Can he get some bars on one of your next songs?
No question. SP can get on. I'm telling you, you guys haven't seen Sean's full personality yet. And if he start broadcasting, I'm sure you'll get a chance to shed some light on the way he is. And he's a real big hip hop connoisseur. He knows his music. He spit some bars before. Like, he'd come up to me, spin bars at practice, and go, hold on, coach, I got to go back in. So,
what would his rap name be?
Definitely put him on the
DJ Sean Payton.
I have no idea what his rap name would be. That's funny. That's funny.
Teron, nobody deserves to get paid like you. I hope you get all the money, all the respect. I hope you find a new chapter and enjoy this period that you've never experienced in your life. Get wined and dined, enjoy the phone calls, and we're wishing you all the best.
Ching,
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.